Who needs mercy? Jesus' words, I think, ring so powerfully. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. So how many of you grew up with a sibling? My brother and I, who's 3 years older than me, were always getting into trouble. And often, because my brother was older than me, he forced me to say the word mercy or uncle, right? That kind of wrestling and horseplay, as we might call it. And so when I think of these words of Jesus, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, that immediately comes to my mind. But who needs mercy might be the most cohesive way to frame what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Our gospel story today features a number of different people that Jesus encounters. Matthew, the tax collector, the leader of the synagogue whose daughter has just died, and a woman suffering from hemorrhaging for 12 years, all of whom receive mercy from Jesus. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Think about what that means spiritually. What God calls us to is to bring God's mercy, to bring mercy, which is just another way of saying grace. To give mercy to someone is that in the face of what someone deserves, you withhold. That when God looks at us and sees the totality of our life, rather than giving us condemnation, God gives us mercy. We might think of mercy as being weakness, that those who need mercy somehow are weak. But that is truly how God sees us. With love and compassion and grace, God gives us mercy. So let's talk about Matthew first. It says Matthew was a tax collector. He was sitting in his tax booth. Jesus says, "Follow me." It's always striking to me that Jesus doesn't say, "Give up tax collecting. Give all the money back that you've stolen," because that's what tax collectors did. Through graft, they took a percentage of what they collected for the Roman Empire. These were Jewish people working on behalf of the oppressors, and no one liked them. Jesus just says, "Follow me." The mercy extended to Matthew says that when you begin your relationship with me, tax collecting will be in your past. And it's not that you have to be eligible to be my disciple through your merit, through your good deeds. Somehow Jesus could see straight to Matthew's heart. Follow me. And the Pharisees and even the disciples of John the Baptist, say, "Why does your teacher gather with tax collectors and sinners?" It's because Jesus starts with mercy. It's grace on the front end, giving people the benefit of the doubt, but also the opportunity that when you're in relationship with Christ, your life is transformed. Jesus meets us where we are and then changes us through mercy, through grace, through compassion and love. Matthew becomes not just a disciple, but an apostle. His life goes from being a hated tax collector to being one of those foundational pieces that builds the church. Who needs mercy? Matthew needed mercy to change his life. And while Jesus is talking about this, it says a leader of the synagogue, which is really interesting to me, because so often in all of these stories in the Gospels, we have the leaders of the Jewish faith, Pharisees, scribes, others, who are opposed to Jesus. They are his foil, or they are his opponents. But here it says the leader of the synagogue comes to Jesus. His daughter has tragically died. And you can imagine the grief of losing not just a child, but a young child. Who needs mercy? A parent who's lost their child. This leader of the synagogue comes to Jesus and believes that if you just lay your hand upon my child, she will be brought back to life. The faith and the trust and probably the desperation is something that any parent can understand. Who needs mercy? This father. And so Jesus goes to meet the child. And on the way, literally on the way, a woman who isn't as bold as the synagogue leader to say, come and lay your hand on my child and she will live. She says to herself, if I just touch his cloak, I will be healed. Who needs mercy? A woman who's been bleeding for 12 years. A woman who's no doubt gone to every doctor and physician and healer that she could find, and no one can help her. And she sees Jesus. If I just touch his clothing, I will be healed. And so she does. And somehow Jesus senses it. In another version in Mark, he says Jesus could feel the power leaving him. Just think about that for a second. But here it says, daughter, your faith has made you well. And immediately, her bleeding stops. Who needs mercy? So on the way of healing one person, he heals another. God's compassion and love is for those who are hurting, those in need of healing. So he heals the woman who's been bleeding for 12 years. And then, without even seemingly doing much, he declares that the child who had died, she was just sleeping, and calls her to come out. Who needs mercy? A father of a daughter who's died, a family, a community, and all who mourn the loss of such an innocent. And she comes out for all the world to see. God's heart is revealed in the person of Jesus. If you want to know who God is, it's revealed in Jesus, in his actions, in his words, in the life and ministry that he carried out. Jesus says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Sacrifice, of course, is a huge part of our Old Testament, whether it's an animal sacrifice in the temple, whether it's giving of funds or money to support the temple. And part of what this mindset is if I do X, Y, or Z, I will placate God. I'll get God off my back. I will do my part to make sure that my relationship with God is good. That's a mentality of sacrifice. But when Jesus says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, it's a way of shifting from saying, I don't want you to think about me. I want you to think about the people all around you. Who in your community, who in your life needs mercy? Who needs compassion? Who needs love? Who needs healing and restoration? Find those people. If you want to serve God, serve them. That's the ministry of Jesus. Why does he spend all of his time? This is what his opponents, or even some just people from the outside, thinking about. Why does Jesus spend all of his time with the sinners? Is he a sinner? He spends time with them because those who are well have no need for a physician. If we want to be followers of Jesus, we are called to find the broken places, the hurting, those who are struggling. That's where we're called to go, in whatever way we can. It's not to form a little club of the righteous where we congratulate ourselves for how good we are. To be a follower of Jesus means we go to the places where people need mercy. Because part of what we need to understand is that who needs mercy? We do. We do. We need God's mercy and God's grace as a starting point. As hard as you might try, as good as you might be, there's nothing you can ever do to earn God's salvation. And when we realize that at the base level, we are first recipients of God's mercy, then hopefully you have compassion for anyone who's struggling. Because on our own, we don't get there. We need God's mercy. We need God's grace. So does everyone. Who needs mercy? That's a question that we should be looking around in our everyday life. And how can we offer it? How can we give a word of grace or encouragement, forgiveness, compassion? Not because people deserve it, because nobody does. Because that's what God gives to us first. Mercy, love, compassion. It's not easy to do, but it is what God calls us to. Jesus said, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Learn what this means. Amen.